Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. In London for London. In London for London. You know, this is Pentecost Sunday. So this is the day where on the ecclesiastic church calendar, this is when the church was born. This is when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. And that corporate body that Jesus fills us, the church, that's when the church was born. That instrument, that vehicle that God was going to breathe through and manifest his love and his goodness to the earth. So this is Pentecost Sunday. And we are the church, not just, got saved so I can get out of this mess. I got saved so I can get heaven into this mess so I can get the goodness of God everywhere and so that we can fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. What's the glory of God? It's just his goodness everywhere, and that's what we're about. So we're in London for London. Maybe you're in St. Thomas like my children will be. Praise God. You know. Amen. I'll get over that. We're in London for London, and we love this city. So we're here, and our whole mission is transforming lives to impact their world. That's what we're all about. You can say that with me if you want right now. Transforming lives to impact their world. As we want to see people who come and who come in an understanding and a revelation of who they are in God, their identity in Christ, so they can have fullness of life and through their life not be takers, but be healed up and ministered to and be givers. Saying healed up, I have to say this right now. Before the service, when we were praying, and I really felt that there's somebody right now, he's a miracle working God, but God also gave us a responsibility to be a miracle working people. And I really felt there's somebody here and you've got a disalignment in your back. There's something out of line in your back and you've been in pain and discomfort. And I saw a lining of vertebrae. I saw something coming back into manifestation in someone's body. So right now, if that's for you, if you got a back situation where there's some discs or things out of alignment, I saw an alignment taking place, and he's a miracle working God. And you know, we are told to work miracles. And I want to work that miracle today in the name of Jesus. I just command your back to be straightened. Another thing I saw was just right here. I don't even know what it is or why, but right above the right eye, somebody had pain. Might have been a headache or the beginning of a migraine or something, but right above your eye, you're just kind of like, oh, a bit of pain. And you felt pain right there. In the name of Jesus, that goes. It leaves you. If it was even the beginning of a migraine or migraines on any level, just curse that, command pain to go in Jesus' name. I had to throw that out because we just said we're here to impact lives, and he's a miracle-working God, and we're a miracle-working people. Did that touch somebody, minister somebody right here? Throw up your hand if you say those things help me. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that. Good, good. Receive that. Take that right now in Jesus' name. Because, you know, we're here to heal. We're here that people be touched and not just have a cute little ceremony, but we want to really experience God's goodness touching our lives. Can I get an amen? Transforming lives to impact their world. Now, Pentecost, when Pentecost came, Jesus was talking at the ascension, and he told them about Pentecost. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And in verse 6 to 11 of Acts chapter 1, he said, you will receive power. Say power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon you. And Pentecost is about the church receiving power from on high to do what God wants us to do. Here's the mission of God. Go disciple all of the nations. Bring them into a revelation and understanding of the goodness of God. Take the good news to the globe. I mean, that's a pretty big challenge. But then he says, don't do a single bit of it, though, without power from on high. So God doesn't only give you a commission. He gives you the power to realize that commission. And to try to do it without the power of God, that's just nonsense. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's nonsense. Turn to your neighbor, lift up your hand and say, power. Very good. Did you see that? Good. Power. Power from on high. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. To Jerusalem, the city that you're in, right immediately where you are. Start where you are and demonstrate through the power of the Holy Spirit the goodness of God. Amen. So that's what it's all about. That's why Pentecost came. That's the power of God. It came upon the church to fill the earth with the goodness and the glory of God. So it's about cities. It's really about cities. And when you read the book of Acts, and it's fun just to read through the whole book of Acts, you'll see people that are going to cities, people that are going to regions, people that are passionate about cities, and they're going into those cities so that they can touch whole regions with the goodness of God. And that's what happens. The Apostle Paul, who much of Acts is about and who wrote much of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul constantly went to cities, and one of his great passions was, I want to go to Rome. I want to get to Rome. I can't wait until I get to go to Rome. Why do you think he wanted to go to Rome? Because Rome was the most influential place in the world at that time. And he wanted to have a witness. He wanted to take the message of the goodness of God to the most influential place so that he could affect the broadest group in society, so he could impact the world in the most impactful way. We are Impact Church. But he wanted to go to Rome. And God really is about reaching and touching and seeing cities touched and transformed. So we are in London for London. What has God done? Why has he gifted us? What redemptive qualities has he poured into us to manifest his goodness to our city? Witnesses. The word witnesses is the word martus. And the word martus means to testify in a trial. It means those who, after his example, have proved the strength and genuineness of their faith by undergoing a violent death. So it literally does. Witnesses also means martyrs. It means to be martyred. It's where we get the word martyr from. But literally, I want you to live. I want you to witness. I want to lay your life down and let his life be lived through you every single day. Every day, just lay down your concern, your will, what you would think should be paramount, and take up the cause, take up the purpose of God where he has placed you. Let him live in and through you in Jesus' name. Shout a few more amens. It goes faster. All right, good. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that. Couple of shouts, couple things. Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room. Boom. I mean, it says a violent wind from heaven came. It touched where they were, and tongues of fire came and rested on everybody. So they knew it was from heaven. They knew where it came from. Something came out of heaven, and fire. It was so powerful. It was like tongues of fire rested on all of us. We were all baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the power of God came on them. Now, the power of God coming on a group of people in a room, well, that's wonderful. But here's what's even more wonderful. They spilled out of the upper room. It went outside the building. And here's what it says. It says there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites dwelling in Mesopotamia. There were Judeans. There were those from Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Perga, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, and Jews and proselytes, and Cretans. Cretans, that would be people from Crete. Or Cretans, that's just people that are Cretans, my goodness. So Arabs, and then it says all of these worlds. So here it is on Pentecost, a feast where all the nations would be in Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing that God chose that feast, that day, to pour out his Spirit on the church, to baptize a group of believers? And if it stayed in the upper room, none of these people would have heard a thing. If it stayed in that building, none of those people would have heard a thing. If it stayed in that building, they would have had a great experience with God, the Spirit of God, fire, woo! But thank God it spilled into the street. Thank God that the nations were there. Thank God that the nations said, what is this? And Peter got up and said, this is that. This is a visitation of God. This is God Most High coming and manifesting his power and redeeming communities. So good. So folks, here's a screen. You ready? Look at this one. It's coming up right now. Right now. Oh, there's. We are here. Pretty deep stuff right there, right? We are here. But us being here isn't half as important as us being, because what God does in here, it's for out there. And you know, we are in London for London. You're having an experience with God. We're having a feast. We're having a festival. We're having just a weekend blowout experience with God, because we want to celebrate him and enjoy him. But we want to align ourselves with his purpose because we want to reveal him out there. Amen. Sorry, if it only happens in here, it's not going to touch the world. So what happens in here has to get out there. So we are in London for London. We are in London for London. We are in London for London. Hallelujah. Going to go to the book of Jonah. Say Jonah. Now Jonah, even if you didn't grow up in church, you probably heard about Jonah and the whale. How many heard about Jonah and the whale? How many never heard about Jonah and the whale? How many will not put your hand up no matter what I say? Thank you. Thank you for that. But I'm going to read right from Jonah. I'm going to start in chapter 3. Now, Jonah, he was a prophet. And Jonah wrote this book. You should consider that he wrote this book. So he wrote a book about a guy who, being himself, pretty self-deprecating book. Because Jonah, you could read this and go, guy's a little thick. But he wrote this book honestly about him and his experience. So this is a book about Jonah. Now, Jonah is a prophet, and God speaks to Jonah. He says, go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very, very large, influential city, but it was a city in Syria, and in that area, in Nineveh, these people were cruel, they were violent, they were just some of the worst, terrible people of their day, and his people, Jonah's people, hated the people from Nineveh. So now, think about that, because now, Lord, I want to be used by you. Direct me, use me any way you want. I want you to go to Nineveh. Is there anybody else up there? So he said, go to Nineveh. So what did Jonah do? Jonah got on a boat, and he went for a vacation to the Spanish Riviera. Literally. He just went, no thanks, I'm out of here. You know what? When God calls you, he's pretty serious about it. And when God has a job for you to do, he's serious about it. So a big violent storm comes up, and the people are like, oh my goodness, we're going to sink, we're going to go down. And they're trying to figure out, why is this storm happening? So they cast lots to figure out, you know, what's the lot going to fall on, trying to figure out who is it. And they all determine, you know what, this guy over here, this guy is the problem. He's the one who caused the storm. And he's like, dude, leave me alone. And they grabbed him and threw him over the boat, and the storm stopped. So when he got thrown over the boat, a great big, what it was, I don't know if it was a whale or it was some kind of, you know, sea thing, or maybe it was just a floating condominium. Maybe it was, I don't know. But he got thrown overboard, but he landed in some kind of a creature, and he landed in there. And you know what the creature was? It was not judgment for Jonah. It was mercy. He could have been lost in the sea and lost forever, but God provided a living, breathing condominium for him to hang out in for a while until he got his mind straight that we're not going on vacation, we're going to Nineveh. So anyways, he turns his head around and he says, Lord, I'm going to go to Nineveh. That's fine. So the living, breathing condominium, and wouldn't you love to have been on the beach that day? You're kind of swimming with the kids and all of a sudden this, you know, big sea something or other comes up with, and out comes a prophet, you know. So what's the moral of the story? We know that whales are made sick by disobedient prophets. So that's, anyways, he gets vomited out on shore. 3 days in there, who knows what he looked like? Probably some smelly, funky thing. But he gets up on the beach there, and the Lord comes to him again and says, now, Jonah, go to that great city. Say, that great city. Go to that great city, Nineveh. So bang, he says, not going to do that again. So he decides, I'm going to go to Nineveh. All right, so let me pick up the story. Let's go all the way down. He's been in Nineveh. He's preached all the way through Nineveh. It's a 3-day walk. So how many know if you walk for 3 days straight and you preach for 3 days straight, how many think it must be a pretty big city? Turn to your neighbor and say, it must be a pretty big city. All right, so he walked right through that town, preached through that town for 3 days. And then, you know, they all responded. They said, wow, we need to repent. We need to quit being these evil people. And so God saw that, and God changed his mind. So here we are. We're at chapter 3, verse 10. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, verse 10 of chapter 3. If you can find it, you can find it. Read along. Here it says, when God saw that what they had done, that they'd put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and he did not carry out the destruction that he threatened. So that was the message. Jonah said, 40 days, cheer up, get things straightened out, because in 40 days, it's not going to be pleasant. Some kind of calamity and disaster is coming. So he preached that, but the people said, wow, well, let's turn back to God. So they did. So this change of plans upset Jonah. So Jonah is upset. I mean, here you go. It doesn't even matter if the preacher has faith. He didn't even like the people he was sent to preach to. Imagine 40 days and you're all done. You're toast, you're dust, and I can't wait to see it. 40 days, God's going to wipe you off. I mean, he didn't have faith or even hope that they'd even listen. In fact, he didn't like them. He didn't even want to see them change. And when they did repent and responded to the message, he's upset. It's crazy stuff. He's upset. He's angry. It says he became not just angry, but very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. And he said, didn't I say before I left home? Listen to this now, because here's his motivation for going to the Spanish Riviera. It isn't because he was afraid of Nineveh. It's because he believed God would save them. He said, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this? So here's it. He's leaving home. I don't want to see Nineveh saved. I'm going on vacation. Find somebody else to save Nineveh because I'd like to see it wiped out. Sounds like some crazy religious people today. Lord, get us out of here, get us out, then destroy everything. But you see, Jonah knew that if you send me there, I'm going to preach, and they're all going to respond, and you're going to not destroy them, so I'm getting out of here. So he said, I knew it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this? Lord, that's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew, listen to this now, I knew that you are merciful and a compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. And because of that, I refuse to see the people I hate redeemed. You know, there's some people get all weird and all strange, you know, like, oh, New York City, that's such an evil city. You know, and then California, I mean, Los Angeles, all the smut coming out of Hollywood, all that crazy stuff. I think God should carve it off and let it fall into the abyss. Judge them, Lord. Nobody ever heard that before. It's a little crazy stuff, isn't it? See, that was this prophet, Jonah. Jonah was like, you know, I don't want to see these people that I don't like. I don't want to see these people who I think aren't worthy of your love. I don't want to see them turn to you. We having fun yet? All right, good, good. We're having fun. That's good. So here it is. The Lord is what? He's merciful. He's a compassionate God, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. Listen to what else he says. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. So here's what he says now. All right. Now that everybody has turned, they've all repented and, you know, there's nothing nasty going to happen. Here's what Jonah says. Just kill me now. If you're not going to kill them, kill me. I won't be the prophet who went and set a bunch of people free. I won't be the prophet who went into stuff we disagree with and saw people touched and restored. I won't be the prophet who touched the city with the goodness of God. Kill me. Crazy stuff. He said, kill me then. Lord, I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Then the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out. He went out of the city, out to the east side of the city, made a shelter and thought, I'll just sit here and see if these people get condemned. Verse 6, and the Lord arranged a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. Then it eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. He was grateful for the little canopy the Lord provided. And God also arranged then after that a worm to come, and the next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant, so it withered away, and the sun grew hot, and God arranged a scorching heat of a wind to blow on Jonah, and the sun beat down on his head until he grew faint, and he wished to die. Death, here's what he says, death is certain. Certainly better than living like this. How many have a couple of Jonas as your best friend? How many might say, that sounds like me. Said, it's my life's such a mess, I can't take it anywhere. Is this right? All right, look at what it says, verse 9. Then God said, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Here's what Jonah says, the plant died. Is it right for you to be angry? Yes. It's right to be angry about the plant, Jonah retorted. Listen, even angry enough to die. I mean, a plant died and he's angry enough to die. Who wrote this book? Jonah wrote this book. Here's a guy who openly manifests how twisted and distorted his mindset was. He wrote about himself. I was a screwed up, miserable prophet. You should have seen my mindset. And he openly discusses with us how incredibly troubled he was. I think that's pretty amazing. I think that's amazing to manifest this kind of self-deprecation. All right. Angry enough to die. Verse 10. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention the animals. Shouldn't I feel for such a city? Now, other translations say that Nineveh is a city where there are people who don't know their right hand from their left. There are people who are directionless who don't know where to go. And many translators say when he says that 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, that's one of the things you have to teach a child pretty early is this is left and this is right. Billy, you got your shoe on the wrong foot. I think what he's saying is there's a whole bunch of infants there. There's a whole bunch of children there. It's a 3-mile walk, this city. It's a pretty big city. There are innocent babies and infants and people in spiritual trouble. And don't you think we should care about that? And Jonah cared more about the plant than he did about the people who would go and be lost. How are you now? We're in London for London. We're here on purpose. That word, feel sorry for, that word is pity. It means to have pity on, to have compassion on, to spare them, to look upon with compassion. The city took 3 days to walk in. It had 120,000 people who were in crisis, or even 120,000 people who did not know their left hand from the right. Now listen, God loves the city of London. God loves the city of London, every single bit of it, and he wants to use us to minister to and to touch the city of London. I just want to jump out of Jonah just for a second, just to go to Luke chapter 15. There's a little verse in Luke chapter 15. Look what it says. It says, the tax collectors and other notorious, say notorious. There were tax collectors, and not just sinners, but notorious sinners. I mean, I don't even know what that means, but I mean, they're not just sinners. And I love that tax collectors have their own category of sinners. Isn't that good? CRA has its own category. So there are tax collectors and other notorious sinners. So often came to listen to Jesus teach. These people love to hear Jesus teach. The tax collectors, the people who are outcast by the moral majority, the people who are out there, those people love to listen to Jesus. And they would come and listen to him teach. And this made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people. I hate it that Jesus hangs out with all the reprobates in culture. I hate it that they feel welcome there. I hate it. Even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. Say so. So Jesus told them this story. In Luke chapter 15 is the story about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Powerful parables. But what is Jesus trying to say? Why did he tell those parables? Because Jesus wanted to make it really clear to his people that lost people are my priority. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hold on just a sec. Let me say it again. What is Jesus trying to get across to everybody? Lost people are my priority. Let me just say again. What is Jesus trying to really get across? Lost people are what really are on my mind, what my priority is. I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. And that's why I'm hanging out with them, because they're the people I want to touch and I want to reach, because I love them and they are objects of my devotion. Lost people are my priority. They really are. If they're his priority, they should be ours. If there's brokenness, pain, if there's situations where people are not experiencing the goodness that God intended, then we must and we need to step in. If London is lacking in any way of manifesting all the good things that God wants, then we have a responsibility as the children of God to manifest the goodness of God, because we are in London for London. All right, the city. Let's look at the city. Now, I want to go back to Nineveh. I want to look at the call. Here's the call. Are you ready? The call is go to Nineveh, that great city. I mean, God saw it as a great city. Three times in Jonah, he talks about that great city. Go to Nineveh. Let me give you the head reason, all right? Here's the head reason. The head reason, it's an important strategic place. It's just like when Paul wanted to go to Rome. Why did he want to go to Rome? Because Rome is where the whole world seems to be influenced from. I want to be in the most influential place, and I want to influence culture with the goodness of God. And so cities are important. And why go to Nineveh? Because if you can touch that city, you'll impact that whole region. If we can touch London, we can impact this whole region. So go to that city because it's important and it's a strategic place. But the heart reason in, there's a lot of people in cities. There's just more people in cities. Do you know what there's more of in the country? Trees and plants and corn stalks. And it's awesome. But if you saw a truck headed towards a tree, or if you saw a truck headed towards a, would you save the tree or save the person? I know we want to save a tree. We had one of our trees hit by a car. It was terrible. But honestly, if I saw a car ready to hit a tree, I'd go, woo, wow, oh, that was nasty. But if I saw a tree ready to hit a person, I'm more likely to jump in or push my wife, one or the other, and say, you need to do something about that. You know. Anyways, just kidding. I wouldn't push my wife in danger. But you know what I mean, people. Sometimes we have our national meetings in Toronto. Instead of taking the car, I'll just go take the train. I take the train, I go down to Union Station, I get out of the train, and I walk up at Union Station, ready to go find a subway. And when I get off that train, it's people everywhere. And I love it. I just love it. I just feel like, people. Not standing in line for a ride, people. people involved, people doing life, people going somewhere together, people going to this place or going to that, people doing life together. And I just go, people. I mean, you just feel, this is life. This is alive. You know, at our conference a couple weeks ago, or was it last weekend? I can't remember. But we had a prophetic guy from New Zealand there, and he stood up and he said, the Lord is going to give you the wealth of the nations. And I'm like, yay, that's awesome. That's in the scripture. But he said, many have thought the wealth of the nations means the income of the nations or the gold and the silver of the nations. But he says the wealth of the nations is people. The wealth of the nations is people. And did that ever explode in my spirit? He's going to give you the wealth of the wicked, the wealth of the nations. And he said, God's going to give you people. Because you know what really makes a nation powerful? It's the people in the nation. And God wants to give us the people of the nation. Isn't that good? And God wants to give us the people of London to serve, to minister to, and to care for. Because we are in London for London. So that's the call. There's a really good reason for it because it's strategic, but there's a heart reason for it. It's because there's people. So listen, let me read this to you. Ready? Come out of your safe, everyone thinks and looks like me place. Come out. Come out of your safe, everyone thinks and looks like me place. Folks, Christians are so bad at that. They're so bad at having their own little holy huddle, and I find a little group of people we agree with, we all think the same, and then we could kind of turn in a circle and kind of bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. It's time to get out of your safe little everybody thinks like me, everybody looks like me place, because the reason the power of God came on you is for others. It's time to come out of that place. It's time to never be afraid of what's going on in the world. Never be afraid of what's happening in culture. Never be angry and mad about sin, because you know what sinners do? They sin. You know what broken people do? They do broken stuff. Why? Because they're evil? No, they're just broken, but they're objects of God's love, and God wants to love them through you. So the call is go to the city, go to the broken places, go to the hurt, go where you can minister and touch people's lives. Come out of that everyone thinks and looks like me place and get uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable. You know, the only place I'm really comfortable is in God's presence. I'm so comfortable there. You know what? But I'm in his presence all the time. So I can go out to uncomfortable places because he goes with me and I'm wrapped in his goodness and glory. So there's no place where I can't manifest the mandate of God's love because God is with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I mean, come on, it's time to go. It's time to take the grace and the love and the goodness of God. Even if it's Nineveh, even if it's someplace you think yuckadoo, get over yourself. You were yuckadoo once and somebody touched you. You're not all that. If it wasn't for God's grace, you know what that means, eh? It means, you know what this is? That's squared. I know that was highly technical for some of you, but come on. Number two, say number two. Come on, Pastor, you can do it. There's only three, so say thank you, Jesus. Well, what's God's perspective on the whole thing? Well, it looks like in verse one, I'm really loving this God because he's just mad at all the evil people, right? Sounded like a hardcore conservative here. Praise God. I love that. Cry out against the city and their wickedness, because it comes up to me. God, we cry out against this city. Oh, the wickedness in this city. Oh, that's good stuff, isn't it? Wow, I love God's perspective when he's just mad and ticked off at everybody. Whoa, me too, God. I'm really upset. Well, thank God it changes. Because later on it says, I know. Here's what he said. I know this. And you got to know this. I pray you know this. I know that you are gracious and you are merciful. You are slow to anger and you are abundant in loving kindness. One who relents from doing harm. We got to quit misrepresenting him as some angry guy with a big white beard hanging over the banister ready to throw lightning bolts at everything that ticks him off. You know what? He dealt with everything that ticks him off already. The world was judged at the cross. Everything that was an offense to the Father was dealt with. And you know how he dealt with it? He took it all on his Son. His Son took it for everyone. The Son suffered for every single misdeed. The Son suffered for every single situation or circumstance that might offend the Father. So the Father, through the blood of Jesus, can look at every situation and say, I love you. That's God's perspective. That is God's perspective on the whole story. So God wants this community to serve the community, and he wants us to do it with a new covenant philosophy, which in the new covenant is, it's not bad news. He sent them out. He said, go preach the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of grace. The good news of the kingdom is the gospel of the goodness of God. And that's what we're to go out with. God's not angry up there. He desperately wants to manifest his loving kindness and goodness to the world. That's a really good place to say amen, pastor. All right, say number three. Okay, let's go to number three. All right. God's remedy. What's your remedy, Lord? So Jonah went out. He went out of the city and he sat on the east side of the city till he might see what become of the city. So Jonah left the city, came out of the city so he could look on and watch and see how's the city going to be condemned. And he wanted to look on and see now what's really going to happen to the city. Let me go to another verse. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 12, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, that he might make the people holy, that he might make the people holy. Be holy as I am holy. No one can see God unless they're holy. Jesus, so that he might make you holy, so that you could be in a relationship with your Father, that he could reconcile you to your Heavenly Father. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered outside the city gate. Jonah went outside the city. He came away from the city to see if it would be condemned. Jesus was dragged from the city that he wept over, the city that he was passionate for. He was dragged outside that city and he was brutally, viciously murdered. And they tried to murder him, but you couldn't kill Jesus. He laid down his life. But he gave his life. Jesus was dragged out weeping out of the city that he might save it. One was waiting to see that it was condemned, but Jesus was dragged outside of the city and his blood was shed so that he could declare all mankind the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. Wow. That's the call. That's the perspective of Jesus. But this is that whole remedy. The remedy is the blood of Jesus. Let me read a couple things and then we're going to pray. All right? Right here. Pull up that slide for me. Secular morality will not save the city. Whatever you think morality is, whatever righteousness you think is, I go to prayer meetings and say, righteousness exalts a nation. Not your righteousness, his righteousness. And see, his righteousness is a gift. It's not something I achieve or realize. It's the gift of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Some form of secular morality will never save a city. It needs a miracle of God's saving grace. It needs a miracle of God's saving grace. It needs a miracle of God's saving grace. London is saved because someone suffered in its place. London, whatever's broken in London, whatever's lacking in London, Jesus did it all. And he breathed on us at Pentecost and he raised up a church that is supposed to be in London for London. He raised up a group of people that should be a living, breathing community demonstrating God's love to literally bring healing to this whole city. Oh, pastor, come on. You think we can heal the whole city? We got to pray that Jesus gets us out of this mess. I mean, it's not going to get better, pastor. It's just going to get worse and worse. We got terrorism, people being blown up in England. I mean, you know, the whole world's just a mess. I mean, we should be saying, Lord, please come quick and get us out of this mess. That's nonsense. God has a remedy for what's going on in the world today. And if the church doesn't have a revelation of it, we'll never realize it or come to the demonstration of it. God loves London. God loves Ontario. God loves Canada. God loves the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son so that none should perish, but all experience everlasting life. Why do we get away from that message? Why do we turn into nonsense and arguments about political things and, you know, moral explanations of what we need to do? It's done. We just need to loose his love and his goodness. All right. London is saved because someone suffered for it. One more slide. This is not a story about God's dealing with a violent or evil city. Jonah is not a story about God dealing with a violent or evil city. Jonah, this is a story of God transforming the heart of a religious, heartless bigot of a prophet. This was a guy, he knew that if he went and preached the message of God, that Nineveh would be saved. He knew that. And knowing that, he went to the Spanish Riviera. This is someone who wants to tell all of us. Jonah is crying out today, and Jonah wants to tell you, don't be a heartless bigot. Don't be somebody who has a message that can be released through serving, through loving kindness, through manifesting the goodness that God's poured in your heart. Don't be somebody who couldn't give a rip about the culture you live in, the people you live with. This is a story from a prophet who says, I was a bigot. I didn't care. I didn't care about anybody but myself. And when I had a message that would change culture, I kept it to myself and I took a vacation. And I want to tell you about me, and I want to tell you how wrong I was, and I want to tell you this, and I want to be honest about it, because I don't want you to do what I did. This is an invitation of God to invade your city with his grace, his mercy, and his loving kindness. And that's why we started today with this sermon. Because I pray that in any way that you're not aligned with the goodness of God and what he can do for the city, I pray that you would let him touch your heart today. I pray if there's any aspect of the nature of Jonah in your life, I pray that he would heal your heart today. And I pray when he would give you salve for your eyes, that you would see the city of London as a place where God has placed you to serve, to love, and to demonstrate the healing power of a risen Savior. Please settle down. So I want to pray for you. So come on, stand up with me. Jesus. Wow, Pastor, take it easy on us. You know, it's an amazing story, Jonah. It's amazing that we're so open about his gross failure. But even in his gross failure, still God's love prevailed. And Jonah's message is crying out to us today, what will you do? What will you do with the commission that God's given you to go into the city, into your communities, to impact your neighbors, to just be the best you can be every day, to present people every day out of the abundance of who God is, to demonstrate his kindness. If God has been so good to you, if God has been so good to you, you really should open your heart and offer that same grace and goodness and kindness to others, because there's more than enough to go around. There really is. So Father, we just open our hearts to you right now. We hear Jonah. We hear him speaking clearly from the living word. We hear the purpose of this little prophetic book. And we hear you speaking to our hearts today. And I pray, Lord, that that prophet who was willing to say, I was a bigot, I was a racist, I was somebody who didn't desire to see brokenness healed in others, that I determined they weren't worthy. Father, forgive us. There's things happening in the earth today, Lord, that I don't understand. The hatred, I don't understand. I wish I had a big 2x4. I could just say, peace, peace, peace. God, we desire to see peace on earth. And we desire to love those that have misused and love those who have been full of hate. We believe love is the most powerful weapon of all. You said love overcomes a multitude of sin. Father, we just want to be those who loose your love into areas, who literally lay down our lives to demonstrate. You, when you were on the cross, you said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You loved. And we want that. So in Jesus' name, I pray that you would touch my heart. And I pray if there's anything in me that would somehow keep me from being heart wide open, hands wide open, feet that move, eyes that see, Lord, heal me today. Heal me of any wrong attitude that I have that would hinder me from being everything I can be, because I am in London for London, and I want to be all that you want me to be. So just heal our hearts. If there's a Jonah anywhere in us, if there's any of his attitude in us, thank you, Jonah, for being so honest. But Holy Spirit, come, heal me today. Touch me today. Minister to me today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I just want your heads bowed, your eyes closed, just one more time. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is here right now. By the Spirit of God, he's here right now. Jesus gave himself. He is the risen Lord. And he did it all because he loves you. And I don't do this because I figured it out and I'm trying to be good. I do this because God has been so good to me. And God's been good to you, whether you know it or not, he has. And I tell you, if you would agree to open your heart to this fact that God loves you, to this fact that he's forgiven you, to this fact that he wants to fill you with his life. You don't have to do it on your own strength anymore. You can open your heart to the power from on high, and God himself can invade you with his love. If you don't know him, if you've never accepted or said, I believe you are the Son of God, I receive you as who you are, as who you declared that you are Lord, you are Redeemer and Savior. If you've never done that, I want you to do that today. And I want to pray with you today. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Nobody's looking around. It's just you. It's you and God who loves you touching your heart right now. And if you want to pray a simple prayer with me and we're going to close, I just want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand when I count to three. When I count to three, just put your hand up. All right, it's just you. Nobody looking around, just you. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Just throw your hand up really high so I can see it. Throw it right up in the air. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're going to pray now, all right? And we're all going to pray. So you don't have to feel strange praying or opening your mouth. We're all going to pray because it says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you're saved, you're redeemed, and he'll really come into your life. You're born again. It's an amazing thing. But I'm going to pray with you. So you pray. We're all going to pray. You ready? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you gave yourself for me. I believe that you are my Savior. And I receive forgiveness of my sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Let your Spirit testify with my spirit that I am a child of God today. Thank you for being my Lord and being my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've done that for the first time or whatever, somebody might tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, here's some stuff. Because we're not here to make decision makers. And if you made a decision for the first time, I encourage you to pursue what that is. Because it's not about a little event. It's about an ongoing relationship with a wonderful God. And so if you've done that for the first time, talk to somebody and tell them about that, all right? Because we want to help you track with what that means. And we want to together grow on our journey as God's using us to be in London. For London. Could I get those who are ministering at the altar to come right now? Every Sunday we have prayer at the altar. Every Sunday, if you need ministry for anything, you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for a circumstance or a difficulty you're going through, you need somebody just to agree with you about a breakthrough you're in need of, these folks are here right now ready to minister to you, okay? But I want to bless you, want to send you on your way, and I also want to say, could you tonight, I'm going to be there at the prayer meeting tonight, and we're going to meet with other churches, we're going to be praying for London as a bunch of churches, and would you join me there if you can? Would you join me there 6:30 at Faith Tabernacle? I would so love to see a good representation from Impact Church. Everybody okay? It was a good day. We're so blessed. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you coming and making time. And the school, you guys are family. You're in our hearts in such a big way. And we're so humbled to serve you guys and what you do. We bless you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you that we get to gather in your house and be in your presence like this. I was so glad when I opened my eyes and I said, let's go to the house of God. We thank you that you've been here and we've been ministered to, we've been touched. Thank you for the privilege of serving our community. And Father, our greatest desire is to see your love increase, to see your goodness increase, and just to see the city touched and healed from any brokenness and see it be just a world-class demonstration of a community that moves together in life and power. So Father, bless our city. I bless everyone right now. In the wonderful love of our Heavenly Father, wrap everyone. Jesus, your grace, your favor, surround each and every one. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your commitment and your partnership to be with us every moment of the day. I bless everyone now in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. The altars are open. If you need prayer for anything, please come. Otherwise, God bless you. Thank you so much. What a joy to have you.